Welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board Meeting for October 28th. Welcome, everybody. Can I get a roll call vote, please, Celia?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerrero?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thank you. And Karen, can I ask you to lead us in a flag salute?
Please stand.
Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Is there anything anybody would like to change or add?
Yeah,
to the agenda?
I need to recuse myself on consent item 7D as I live within 500 feet of that property. So if we could peel that portion off.
7B?
D as in dog.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's a lot of cash.
I need to recuse myself as well for 7C for the same reason.
Okay.
And I think we should maybe discuss some of those separately, so I wonder if we want to separate the consent agenda items tonight.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Why don't we take 7C and print it...
Madam President,
yes.
The question of separate discussions is that the board can approve the consent agenda with the two individuals having recused themselves from those two items, and it doesn't require pulling them from the consent agenda. But if there's different reasons that you want to pull them from the consent agenda, then certainly you can feel free to do so.
Okay.
I thought we might need a discussion on item C.
If that's your desire, then certainly, yes.
Yes.
So where would you recommend we slide this in on the agenda?
I would just recommend that we would do 7C after the hearing item, which is item 9A. So
okay.
I would just push it down to 9B.
Okay, thank you.
You said 9B, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so with those three items, does somebody want to entertain a motion, or I'll entertain a motion?
I so move we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay. Do we want to do a roll call vote on this one, or just a yay nay? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. 5-0. All right. Okay. Let's hear some public comment. Is there anybody who would like to speak to items that are not on the agenda? This is the time to do so. Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I wanted to bring to your attention something that came up at last week's South County Sanitation District meeting. Mm-hmm. On the agenda was a discussion to put a settlement on a future agenda for the litigation associated with the fine and the spill of 2010. This was a discussion about a future discussion. And the chair had put that on the agenda in the hopes that the rest of the board would have the discussion with the public about considering settling the dispute at some future agenda. The board members, other than the chair, voted to take that off of that evening's agenda. And what I found ironic was this chair has been criticized for putting things on the agenda unilaterally, which he has the right to do, as do each of the other board members who serve on that board. But this time, he was asking for consensus to put a discussion on a future agenda and was shut down. This is about democratic process. Let there be a future agenda item. Maybe it's a closed session item, but that was what the discussion would have been last Wednesday night what kind of agenda item, when to have it, open session, closed session, whatever, or how far in the future, whatever the discussion would have led to, would have put the idea on a future agenda. But that didn't take place. There is a lawsuit continuing with that district. We've talked about it here. We've talked about it at Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, at the Sand District. That district needs to get out of the litigation business. That district has put $1 million into this case. And you have a $1.1 million fine against the district that you may or may not win, but they did just adopt a rate structure that includes the $1.1 million to collect from your ratepayers to actually pay the fine. So if you get back to court, if you get back to the water board to have a hearing over, which is what the litigation is asking, you just approved a rate structure that says you can pay the fine. So I encourage your board to speak to, have a discussion here about what your position is, and I hope it is to settle that litigation.
Thank you.
Madam President, just as a quick point of clarification, public comment said the statement that you, as in somebody might interpret that as your board approved a rate increase for the fine, but again, just to reiterate, that was the South County Sanitation District that is proceeding with that and not you.
That's correct. I'm glad you just articulated or pulled that out to state that. Is there anybody else who'd like to do public comment at this time? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move the agenda along. So, 6 special presentations reports. Sheriff's Station.
I think we got that last
we
night,
got
right?
That last night.
Sorry, I missed that.
How about we bump you to the top of the list?
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino.
Hi, Tony.
All right, we've had our weekly samples. We had 11 work orders, 4 USAs, 13 customer service calls. We had 2 call-outs. One call-out was for 19th and Beach Alleyway. We had a tow truck take out a meter box, which snapped 2 services at roughly 1 in the morning. Since then, they got repaired, and the meter boxes, we are concreting them in, so it can't happen again. We are getting to the meter boxes as best we can, as time allows, and concreting them, locking them in, so if something goes over it heavy, it's not going to break the lines. The other call-out was actually the sheriff's station. Over the weekend, there was water coming through the roof, and that was due to their AC units, 2 of the older ones. The actuators failed, so it caused the AC units to run at max, thinking they needed to be colder than what they could produce, and they actually froze over, and the ice went through the roof. Basically, the water, as it was drying up, was dripping everywhere. A few tiles fell down from the roof, you know, from their ceiling. We got the actuators repaired, and they're operating great. We replaced the ceiling tiles also. We replaced a few other meters, raised some boxes. We went out and did notification for trash throughout Oceano. We notified, basically drove Oceano and identified 19 properties that had debris that was either in the alleyway, in front of the units, front of the homes, the properties. You document everything, then you go post it, and then we mail out notifications to the property owners. And out of the 19, majority of them were cleaned up within the 10 days allotted. The other few, I believe there's 4, just communicated with them. If they need more time, they got more time to get it cleaned up. So we'll recheck on those. But they responded all really, really well, and they are communicating amongst each other because we had a work order that was actually called in for trash being on property. So once we get out there, I think the community gets involved and start to let us know where there's trash, and we can notify and get it cleaned up. Hold the property owners responsible. Also, we had some valve turning, some sewer cleaning. We had a hydrant get hit on 17th and Beach over the weekend also. It's currently black bagged, so it's not in service, and we are doing a further investigation to find out who did it. We do have a license plate and a police report on that. So that'll get taken care of here in the near future.
On what street?
It was 17th and Beach.
At least it wasn't.
They drove completely over the sidewalk.
So was the tow truck that went to pick up the car the one that then ran over the box and broke? Just kidding.
Nope, but they're picking up another vehicle.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Okay, Tony, can I ask you a question about, I've had people who now have been texting me pictures of people's sprinklers going off, you know, in lush green yards and things like that. And so I've asked them, please stop sending me pictures. But I do have quite a collection. So what are we doing about the households that...
There's dates and times.
Yeah,
that they
I know.
Can water.
I know we have Tuesday and Thursday, I think
and
it
if
is.
People are violating that, we can go out there and communicate with the property owners and
so
let them know when they can.
So should I just forward you on the pictures? Just send them to you?
You can let me know the locations. That's fine. We can create a work order and have the staff go out there and talk with the property owners.
Okay, great.
And let them know when
actually,
they can water.
Yeah, it's, you know, community, you know, neighbors saying, hey, you know, I've tried to talk to our neighbor and they don't want to comply and care.
Yeah, so. We'll be more than happy to go out there and talk to the property owner.
Okay.
Let them know when they can.
Yeah, and you have done so already.
Yes, we have.
And it mainly is people who this is their second home, they're vacation people, they set their sprinklers, you know, they live where, you know, in the valley or something, and so
we can definitely give them a phone call.
They want a lush green yard when they get here, so I think
we can communicate with them.
That's good. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Madam President, if I might just follow up on his comments regarding the debris, and out of the 19 property owners, 14 who immediately cleaned up the debris, and there's five that we're working with right now. But I think it's important to reiterate our expression of appreciation for the property owners, because in many situations, a property owner is subject to somebody illegally dumping on their property, and so it's understandably frustrating for a property owner to get, you know, somebody else to leave something on their that they have to take care of then. So one of the things that we do is when the property owner has the debris cleaned up, we make sure to send them thank you notes and everything. And we've had a few come into the office and everything. But again, to every opportunity we get to express our appreciation to those who, you know, who are cleaning it up, especially when they're doing so and having to do so as a result of somebody doing some illegal dumping.
Okay, that's good. Thank you for thinking of that and showing our appreciation. And if people do have things in the alley and stuff, you know, feel free to call the district and let, you know, people know so we can get out there and get it handled. Okay. Karen, you want to do anything on the fire department?
Two things. Do you want me to go ahead and do? Yeah.
Sure.
At 7:33 p.m. on Sunday, the fire department was dispatched to what they believed was a structure fire at the 400 block of Cali Camaro and the Rugrats up on the hill behind Kmart. Upon arriving, brown smoke was rolling out of the garage. The firefighters thought they had a fire but quickly realized it was a hazardous chemical spilling, gassing off as it would be. It was hydrogen sulfide. Barreled, 100-pound size barrel, two-thirds full. And there was clouds of hydrogen sulfide and sulfur dioxide gas venting out. Apparently, they had left the container in the sun, and that caused expansion, and it caused it to start gassing off, and then they tried to slow it down by adding water. It was one of the chemicals that reacts in water. That didn't work very well. So they had all the neighbors stay in place. They got the hazardous material spill in their They removed it. They actually took the container in a dump truck out to Kenneth Avenue, clear out to Kenneth Avenue to finish venting off. And there was no injuries, no major damage. And the residents got to go back in the home about midnight. But the fire chief has advised me, and we talked about it, there was no injuries, but the residents will be liable for the incident-related cost recovery. This was one of those kind of things that was, I believe, a mishandling of some chemicals. And I just remind everybody to be careful about those kind of things. It was being used for an art project of some kind. I think the chemical is used for some kind of etching, I suspect. And anyway, that's number one. Number two, we're charting our calls from the three fire stations. And it's very interesting because we see our stations divided as Oceana, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande. But many calls in Grover Beach, Oceana was the closest fire truck, and so it's always the closest fire truck goes. And, you know, the issue of balancing between the calls, if you just isolate it to town, Oceana doesn't maybe make as calls as the other two, but because they're going into Grover, Grover goes into Arroyo Grande. And it's very interesting because the calls are evening out just about the amount of the original cost for the three communities, if you take it by the amount of calls they take. So it's and that's why it's being kept. We're also keeping mutual aid responses for the county. Chief Lieberman has developed this very comprehensive study of this whole thing with bars, and it's very, very nice. And I didn't bring it tonight, but so I think it's going to give us a whole lot better of idea of how our fire department responds and how it responds together, how it meshes together. And because it's always the closest truck goes first. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the whole area, so that gives us an advantage because we don't have to say, oh, that's in Grover Beach, so Grover truck needs to go. Anyway, I just thought that was real interesting. And I think that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Does anybody have any questions? You still have on your board, it's
Mayor Scholes and Barbara Harmon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Great. And Barbara's chairman. And I also ought to add, she is working very hard. We are going to have, within the next 6 months, really put together, they're working on the bylaws right now, 501c3 Friends of the Five Cities Fire.
Great.
Great.
Do you remember when we talked about that initially a couple of years back?
Yeah.
We talked about doing a fire museum at the old firehouse down here where there is an old fire truck.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to see that idea get revisited.
Well, one thing, first let's get the organization, but Barbara's been very, very involved in doing that.
Yeah, she's been a really good
contribution
to the Five Cities Fire.
Yes.
I don't mean to get the cart before the horse, but thank you.
Well,
appreciate it.
You know, Roy Grandy has fire trucks and old stuff too.
Yeah, and
the old cart, full cart, and everything.
Former chief and I had a great discussion about it, and he says they have enough between the three entities to get a good start to to the fire museum,
and
it ties in with the railroad museum. I think it'd be a great thing.
And there are some other people who, individual firefighters who have things like collections of old fire hats or old fire badges or stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fire geeks.
Remember the old case we used to have in here with the melted iron and...
I don't know what happened to that.
You know, we have our gold shovel in the back. So.
Melted iron came from the box factory fire, didn't it? The melted iron.
I think so, yeah.
That was the railroad tracks.
It literally melted. It was so hot.
The railroad tracks melted beside the building. Yeah, that was scary.
Oh, those were the days. Okay, so moving right along. Zone 3 Advisory Committee, Paolo.
No updates on Zone 3 in general. The point, SLOCOG, San Luis Obispo County Council of Governments, has an agenda item on November 4th for the possible creation of an advisory committee on coastal sedimentation. SLOCOG's been working in partnership with the Army Corps of Engineers for a while. It has to do with some of the analysis on sea level rise and increases in sedimentation. On this advisory committee of elected officials that they have on the agenda to create, you know, it hasn't been created yet, they identify Oceano as one of the agencies that they would like to potentially see an elected official. So if that action does happen, I'll bring it back. But the basics is that, as a quick informational item alone, is that District 2 for the Board of Supervisors and District 3 have significant coastal communities. In District 4, Oceano is the only coastal community. And because they can only have two members of the Board of Supervisors, that's why they're looking for members from District 2 and District 3. And would then, because Oceano is the only community on the coast for District 4, then they'd be potentially looking for a representative of your board. So again, I just wanted to highlight that's on the SLOCOG agenda for November 4th. If that item is approved, then obviously I'll bring it back as a future agenda item.
So I was thinking about attending that meeting. So if you know the location, maybe you could send that out.
Sure, I can distribute the agenda item that they have.
Yeah, because yeah, I've been tracking, you know, right, keeping an eye on that particular item. Thank you, Pablo. Jen, I'm going to slide you in. Oh, no, I'm not going to slide you. I just want to know, did finance meet yet?
No, we have not.
No.
Okay, but you're planning on in the near future, and we'll read about it, right? Yeah, okay. Yes.
It'll be on the morning news.
Okay. Actually, Oceano was on the morning news. The town hall meeting was televised. KSBY was there, and it was great. It was really a good turnout.
And, that's great.
Several of my acquaintances revealed that I was in those pictures, the back of my head.
Ooh.
Best side. I personally didn't see it.
I'll show you later.
Okay. So, Lori, do you want to give us any reports?
No, actually, I don't have anything. We talked to some neighbors about the airport, and things seem to be going pretty smooth right now. So everybody's behaving themselves. So I didn't have any other conversation since the last time I talked to them.
I did notice the biplane is trying to not, like, gas it when he hit 600.
Yeah, that was one of the big issues, that and turning over the houses. And I've been, you know, I'm right under him anyway. So, boy, when I hear him, I'd start looking. And
right.
And they've been doing really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
I think that that's a sign of a good neighbor.
Yeah.
That
and
he's taking that
serious. And they're going to put some additional signs up down there, the county will.
Yeah. Okay, great. Jennifer?
I did attend the Oceano Advisory Council on Monday, and I believe that Vice President White will be reporting on some of the what happened that night, and it was a...
We're teaming it.
Yeah, it was a good long meeting. But one of the projects that is proposed that we got a presentation on was a single-story health center that will be... across the street, diagonally from Central Market.
You want to hold it up?
Sure.
21st.
The health center across the street?
Across the street from, yes.
Because there's already one next
there's
to
one
it,
next
right?
To it.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
And that one is going to stay open as well.
Okay.
They will have, I believe they said, one primary care and also behavioral health at the modular still. But at the single story across the street, we do have a copy of some of the plans here. They are hoping to have five physicians, including primary care, behavioral, dentistry, and pediatric.
Drug and alcohol.
With drug and alcohol services as well. They are hoping to have a pharmacy as well for patients. And the only issue that the CHC is committed to working out with the community is making sure that there's enough parking. So that will be very exciting. The advisory council is very supportive of that, but we will be looking at it again at our next meeting in November, which will be on the 16th, the third Monday instead of the fourth Monday. And the only other thing that I will report on is the forum for Phillips 66. Phillips 66 has agreed to participate in a forum, but they did ask that we wait to have it until after the final EIR is available, which will be the end of this year or the beginning of 2016. So we'll be moving forward in that time frame.
Great.
I have a quick
I just wanted to add a couple things onto that, and then maybe it might. The health center that's being proposed is on the corner of 21st and Highway 1.
Thank you.
Just kitty corner from Central Market, which is a great location, and there's a bus stop right across the street. It's 15,000 square feet. They have their plan has secured 86 parking spaces, and they're going for 100 parking spaces, as Jen had mentioned. But this is a really great thing for the community. So we were all very happy to see that come forth.
And Mary touched upon my my thought is if the advisory council could promote increased bus service to Oceano, it's problematic. I think it goes one direction and it about once an hour, and it doesn't go very far. And I tried riding the bus for a while and gave up. I tried it for a couple of weeks. I tried it. Yeah. They tell you having to change buses at Ramona Park and then at the Pismo Outlet Malls, and I, you know, forget it. But I think that would be of tremendous assistance.
Okay. I will bring it up.
Thank you.
And Pavel, I don't know. I'm sure this doesn't fall in our scope of work because, but the transportation, the public transportation, there has been discussions about it at the county. Have you heard anything or... Because I actually vaguely remember hearing something about it.
I have heard that they're going to be reevaluating their routes down here. Somebody had characterized them as a spaghetti web. So other than the fact that they're reevaluating their routes, I'm not sure. You know, your board acted a few meetings ago in support of selling bus passes out of our office, so we've initiated that work effort.
Okay.
Could I ask one more?
Sure.
A lot of our residents live on what will be the other side of Cienega Highway 1 from the health center. And I know it's been talked about before, and I just wonder if there would be any way to get a traffic signal light there.
At Highway 1 and...
Oh, 21st.
And 21st.
22nd.
Yeah. We need to look at the specific plan or the revitalization plan and see where the roundabout is supposed to be. I can't remember where it is right around that, but it's right around that area.
It isn't anymore.
They took it out?
As far as I can recall, I thought they took it out.
So...
Huh?
The point there then that... I think Director Blackburn had mentioned that the project is going to be on the advisory council's agenda again next month.
Yeah.
And so that would be the appropriate place to ask about traffic impacts and whether or not traffic lights are warranted as a result of that project.
Well, let's not go too far with the traffic light. You know, at this
the question
is the yield sign in a crosswalk.
Yeah, the question of what are the traffic impacts
right.
and what's appropriate would be the good next round of discussion at the advisory committee.
Yes.
Council.
And I think that the architects for the plan had also, it's on their radar screen, and they were going to come back to the advisory with some answers
with some
to
changes.
Some of those questions.
So is lighting.
That's right, street lights. So... Great. Okay. Jennifer, is that all you had to report on?
Yes, that's all I have at this time.
Okay. Karen?
Yeah, the other part of the meeting dealt with flood threat and preparations for El Nino. And Lynn Compton was here, and she brought Mark Hutchison, who is the assistant... Director of Public Works, Deputy Director of Public Works. I'll get it right yet. And there has been a lot of preparation made. There has been a lot. They have all the cleanup that they've been able to do. They've done the flap gates and The one thing I thought was interesting, around all the bridges, they've cleared the brush for a distance, so if they do have a lot of debris coming down the creeks and it starts jamming at the bridges, they have got places where they can bring big equipment in that's already cleared off to snag that stuff and remove it from in front of the bridges. And a lot of other... It was kind of reassuring to hear the things that have been done, because all we seem to hear is the things that haven't been done. And Beaches and Parks also has done some clearing on the Meadow Creek area where they can. They only were allowed to use hand crews. They could use nothing mechanical, but they did do some... Over at Carpenter Creek, which is by the Butterfly Grove, they also did some clearing. So there really has been quite a bit of stuff done and they are in the process of clearing all the culverts. They wait till the last minute to clear the culverts every year so that the brush can't grow back and the debris can't gather. So I was trying to think what else I want to need. And sandbags. Sand is located here at the well site and also on 22nd Street near the bridge on the edge of the roadway, and sandbags can be purchased at Farm Supply, Ace Hardware, Home Depot. Sandbags are a buck a bag. And the other thing is, I did make a call to my insurance company, which is Loomis and Roy Grandy, and flood insurance is available. It takes 30 days to get it in effect. You can get the one flat premium gives you $250,000 worth of flood insurance, and past that, if you need more than that, then it has to be written specifically. But the government flood insurance is available. And I think that's about all. Unless you have any questions, gang?
Matt?
I didn't appear at any meetings, and I thank President Lucy for appearing at South Slough Sanitation District and representing us, so I'll wait for the report on that. I caught part of it online. So.
Okay. So I attended last Friday the CSDA bi-monthly. I think it's bi-monthly. Maybe monthly.
I think it's monthly. That's held about every other month.
Would that be once a month? So anyway, that was informative. There was a gentleman there who I'm at a loss for his name right now, but he worked in for the county in land use. So his presentation was a little late, so I just caught about 70% of it. But it was informative and inviting, and I thought a lot of the questions were good. I got to see other directors I hadn't seen in a while, and so that was refreshing to see people from the north, in the north county, and such. So I also mustered up and attended the South County Sanitation Directors meeting, which is always a taxing meeting. I think one of the reasons why it's so taxing is because reclaiming of water is so vital to our survival in this state right now, and everybody they need to buckle down and deal with it and come up with some plans. And so in those arenas where you have that type of pressure bearing down on your project, I think it's stressful, and I think it doesn't always bring the best out in everybody, but a lot of deep discussions. Somebody, Julie Tacker, had mentioned the president putting on an item on the agenda to discuss litigation, and then it was also listed in closed session. It was not clear on the agenda. It was just a discussion regarding litigation. So I did support Mayor Scholl's proposal to remove that from the agenda, and future articulation of what's to be discussed can be discussed at that board. So there was a long discussion on the Prop 218 initiative that is online for review. I strongly encourage people to look at that. That means that your rates are going to go up. And the proposal and what the funds are going to be used for are listed on the webpage. So please, you know, if you have the time, you know, and you can, a lot of times in these documents, instead of reading 700 pages, 500 pages, you know, go to the summary section, and a lot of times it will summarize it for you in you know, 5 pages or less, you know. And so, unless you're like me, you know, who likes to read boring stuff, but, you know, that's usually what, how you can get through those documents. So, but it is going to impact your households, and so I'd like everybody to go into it informed. And this is a rate increase for sewer, not to be confused with garbage. So on that note, then we have Paavo, did you go to zone 3?
No.
Your mic isn't.
Next zone 3 meeting is in November. I think, President Lucy, there was action at the South County Sanitation District regarding the billing services. My understanding is that the Board of Directors voted in a manner that is not consistent with how your board had previously voted.
Oh, yeah.
And
I attended a lot of meetings, so, you know, I'm sorry.
The question for me really is under future agenda items and whether or not your board wants to place it on the agenda again for...
Can I ask a question,
Paavo? Well, let me first... hold that thought 1 second, Matt. Let me first tell you what the proposal was, and then if I'm not exactly spot on the language, please, you know, step in and correct me on it. The formula that Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach had discussed regarding services to billing, and that's, you know, that the three entities list the sanitation district on the water bills. So to perform those tasks and duties, there's a cost associated with it. The formula came out to be $15,000 and then 57 cents per household. Each jurisdiction has a different number of people living in it. And so Arroyo Grande costed it out, and it seemed to be right in line with their expenditures and in what they charge for it. Oceano costed it out. It seemed to be right in line with what our expenditures are on providing that service. Grover Beach has a different formula. They wanted to do $15.25 per household. And the mayor of Arroyo Grande committed Arroyo Grande to that. I was not going to commit Oceano Community Services District to that. The board hadn't given me or anybody else the authority to do that. And so that was the motion, that our proposal was $15,000.57 per household, and Grover Beach's formula was $15,025 per household. So that's the action that they took, and we didn't support it.
So my question was, and I did catch a portion of that discussion online, has any communication been received from the sanitation district that's basically a counter proposal to what was previously offered by the OCSD following that vote on Wednesday?
The interim, Mr. Clemens called me. I'm not exactly sure what his title right now is, whether it's interim or temporary or whatever. He had called me to inform me of what the sanitation district's board was, which was to direct him to work with the other agencies to develop agreements based on $15,000 a year as a base fee plus the 25 cents per customer account per billing period. In total, on an annualized basis, that would be somewhere around $18,750 for Oceano CSD, or a reduction from the current most recent rate of 22,000.
What was it? Again, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. You said it very fast.
The formula.
What would the reduction be?
It would, based on us having about 2,500 customer accounts, it would reduce the annual revenues for the billing services from about $22,000 a year to about $18,750 per year.
So about a $4,500 reduction.
No, $3,250, or around 15%. 18,750 versus 22,000, so about 3,250. And, you know, 2,200 would be 10%, so,
right.
You know, roughly in the ballpark, about a 15% reduction to Oceano. So Mr. Clemens had informed me of what the direction from his board was to him. I reminded me of what your board's action was. But Director Guerrero, in terms of posing it as a question as to whether that was a counterproposal, he did not express it as a counterproposal. He just said that his board had directed him. So I reminded him that your board's action had been to develop an agreement, basically the formula of 15,000 plus 57 cents generates about $22,000 for Oceano. And so it does not seem like there's a meeting of the minds on that point. Your board had a second action, though, at your previous meeting, which was provided that they provide, you know, give us a written request to do the billing services with a payment of $3,666 by the 15th of what would become November. Then that was the second area that your board authorized in order to continue with the billing services. So that option is still available as well to the sanitation district. It wasn't clear to me as to whether or not. To what extent might Mr. Clemens have that authority under his existing authorizations, or whether or not they have to have any additional board direction? Their board will meet one more time before the mid-November billing has to happen. Your board would normally be scheduled to meet on the 11th. That's Veterans Day. Under future agenda items, we'll have to talk about whether or not we want to have a special meeting on the 10th. But, you know, again, the question is, and I think this is a good discussion of the facts as opposed to any policy or direction to me that you might do. But under future agenda items, I think the appropriate thing to do is to talk about whether or not your board wants to reschedule this item for a future meeting. But again, right now we're just reporting out on committees, and I think that that's sort of what happened. The sanitation district did take some action, did provide some direction to their general manager. It was not consistent with your board's prior action, and whether your board wants to schedule a future agenda item or not, I think would be appropriate to discuss under item number 11.
And so what I'll ask for is legal counsel's perspective. It doesn't have to be tonight, but when the time comes, because I agree with Pavo that there seems to be a failure of the meeting of the minds here. And I've been tired of dealing with this for a long time. We haven't received anything. We've received a notice that they're only approved 25 cents versus 57 cents.
We
haven't even received notice.
We received a phone call.
Right. We haven't received anything in writing for this board to consider. And so when you're ready, maybe at the next special meeting week, you can let us know where we stand.
Again, I think if we want to talk about future agenda items, it would be more appropriate to do that under item number 11 on the agenda.
Okay. I'm just bringing it up now.
Jeff, would you like to weigh in on this?
Yes, and I'm happy to weigh in now, or if you want to discuss it in future agenda items, it's.
I have it down as a this possible future agenda item, but just to put it on the agenda.
Okay.
But is there anything you want to add to that component of it?
No, I mean I think that it's clear your board has made a what I would consider as an offer to handle the billing services again in November, and you have expressed the amount that's required to do so, and so a counter proposal is essentially just a new offer. But whether or not your board receives that offer in time to consider it, whether you reject it or don't respond to it, will have to happen at another meeting, and if that type of offer is going to come in, I would suggest that it come in prior to the billing going out. Otherwise, the general manager doesn't have authority to accept an offer different from what your board has already indicated was the fair and appropriate amount. So it would require further action from your board to have the billing services conducted under an amount that varied from your prior board action. And we don't have that.
Okay. So under future agenda items, I have that one. And there was one other thing. Oh, meeting change. So those are just two things I have to remember to discuss when we get there. Okay. Is it okay if we take public comment on these items?
That's fine. I was going to ask also if we could move the hearing item up to above the consent agenda item. The gentlemen are here. The public is out forward to.
Okay.
Did you agree to doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. Julie Tacker, I'd like to speak to the Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. I agree the Health Center is a superior project to the Plaza Central. I think your community will benefit greatly from that. I hope it's smooth sailing for them. The flooding discussion, I don't know if your board could weigh in a little bit. The Highway 1 and 13th Street project appears to be sort of waylaid by another year or so due to the FAA approvals. It seems to me an intermediate step to help that intersection would be to take down the trees that have been identified for removal as part of the project, because the debris from those trees is what fills the culvert that plugs up every time you have a rainstorm. So it seems to me that that's an easy mitigation measure, and somebody just needs to push that ball forward at the county and get that part done. With regard to the sanitation district, Ms. Lucy mentioned the rate increase and the 218 process. You didn't say that you had abstained from that vote because you didn't have enough information, but you did say that all the information is on their website. So it is there. What the money is for is very well spelled out. It's not 700 pages. It's about 100. With regard to the billing, and this is interesting, Mr. Minnery, with this council had a discussion about the proposal of agreeing to the $15,000.57 per connection. And you all participated and you all voted on it. When Grover Beach considered it, their legal counsel recommended that their representative at the sanitation district, excuse me, I'll direct to the board or to the chair, that Mr. Scholes actually recuse himself so that he could vote at the sanitation district without any conflict. So he did recuse himself from their discussion, and their board wouldn't agree to the $15,057 because they were comfortable with the formula that they were already using, which was billing at right about $22,000 a year also, just like what you guys are aiming for. What he said at the sanitation district meeting was that he didn't listen to their discussion, but he knew that by going to $15,057, it would put them over what they were already billing now, and that was not necessary, and that's why he backed down the number to the 25 cents. It is unfortunate that you don't have the authority to negotiate, and I think I said that night when you did consider it, and I wish you had, because it is a lot of heartburn and everybody's tired of it. But I just, and the billing is prorated. It's not like you're going to get the whole $15,000 because the year's almost out. And the last thing, Mary, you didn't mention is that the board did vote to move to the tax roll by next July, And so this is very interim.
And that was a 3-0 vote.
That's correct. I think that was very nice to see that all of you agreed to put the sanitation district billing on the tax roll. And this, what we're haggling about now is just interim to get you through to the end of the fiscal year. And so I think we all need to take a step back on that.
Thank you. All right. What else?
I think that's it.
I think we're moving on to any public comment on the consent agenda items.
No, we're gonna table the consent agenda.
Oh, and move the hearing.
Items,
okay.
And we're gonna let the garbage gentleman
Mr. Statler.
Do that thing. Only if you're nice to us, though.
You are nice to us.
Very nice.
Incredibly nice.
So that's here. That's item 9A.
Yeah.
So, would you like to step up to the podium? We're going to move the agenda so you can do your presentation, and then we'll come back and finish up the agenda. Just trying to be conscientious of everybody.
Madam President, excuse my temporary departure there. So, with respect to this, is a protest hearing. We have a certain procedural requirements because your board will, after hearing the presentation, we'll have to take the opportunity for public comment, formally close the public hearing for protest. So we actually have multiple parts of recommendations.
So do you want me to formally open up a special meeting?
The hearing item is started because we're starting on the agenda item. But after the presentation and an opportunity for public comment, we'll need to formally close the public hearing for the purposes of the protest hearing, and then your board has to make a determination as to whether or not there was sufficient protests to prevent you from adopting the resolution. After you make that determination, then the subsequent determinations of whether you approve the resolution or not. So this protest hearing under Prop 218 has certain sequential procedures that we have to make sure to follow.
Correct. And that's what I'm asking you is to keep me on track.
Yeah.
But I don't even get to hit the gavel and say the protest hearings are now open.
If you would like to, you may.
But not yet. But not yet.
So Mr. Statler is here to provide a presentation of his evaluation of the rate proposal. Mr. Fenton is here on behalf of South County Sanitary Services. I want to remind the public who may be listening on TV that this was the introduction of today's item was on September 9th. Notices were sent out to all the property owners. As a little bit of a background, there was a few, 4 or 5 rates in the notice that are slightly higher than what's being proposed for adoption tonight. Since the proposal for adoption is less than the amount that was noticed, your board can still proceed with action. And so there's, those were on minor amounts on miscellaneous charges. And I just want to make sure that that's out there. And also at previous hearings, we introduced Mr. Statler's report 2 weeks ago on the 14th, so the public has had a chance to review that as well. And then, of course, Bill Worrell with Integrated Waste Management Authority and Mr. Fenton were here on, I believe it was September 30th, to do a presentation on the composting proposal that's integral to this rate increase. And with that brief introduction, then I would like to turn it over to Mr. Statler for his presentation.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Statler, for coming tonight. We really appreciate it again. So, protest hearing is open.
I would remiss if I didn't point out that Pablo and I have known each other for a long time because we both work. He worked for the county, I worked
for
the city.
Don't get me down the conflict road.
But the important thing to remember is I didn't first meet Pablo because we both worked in finance. I first met Pablo when he coached my 9-year-old son in baseball, Little League. My son was 9, and now he's 34. So that's kind of a ways.
Did they hit the? So. Did they go on to the championships that year?
Yeah, actually, the traveling teams did very, very well, and so Pavo and actually my son played basketball too, and Pavo was there for Little League, and he was there for a traveling basketball team. So, wow. You know, we go back a long ways. It just goes to show you, you know, San Luis Obispo as a county is actually a fairly small village. So with that, let's talk a little bit about the report. Purpose is to analyze the rate increase by South County Sanitary Service for four agencies, for Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Oceano, and Pismo Beach. And so why do the rate review for those four agencies? Because you have the exact same services, you have the exact same franchise agreement, and because you have the same franchise agreement, you've all agreed on the same rate-setting methodology, and the financial information for all of those agencies is closely related. Just to briefly talk about the way the rate review cycle works, there's actually a three-year cycle to the rate reviews. The first year, called the base year of the cycle, very comprehensive review of revenues, expenditures, operating data. The last base year review we did was in December of 2012, which means this is a base year review where we do a very detailed analysis of the fees, and it's been just about 3 years. We're in tune with the cycle since the last review. And then in the two interim years, we do a more focused review where we rely upon the base year review, and then we South County Sanitary Service is eligible for an interim year rate increase, really based on three factors from those base year review. Increases in the consumer price index for those that are called controllable costs, basically operations and maintenance, which SCSS controls. The second one is pass-through costs for landfill disposal fees, which are called tipping fees. And this came up in an earlier presentation. I mean, I really have no idea why they're called tipping fees. That's just sort of the nomenclature in the business. Really, it's what's at the landfill, and it's the disposal costs for doing that. That's a pass-through cost. They don't, and basically, if there's been an increase in those, that's allowed to be passed through. And because you have a 10% franchise fee based on revenues, if the revenues go up, then your franchise fees go up, and we have to make an adjustment. So they have the extra revenues to pay that as well. So that's what happens in the second and third year. But this is a base year review. Actually, three separate, they're related, but they're really three distinct issues that are in front of you this evening. And the first one is the rate increase for January 1st, 2016, which is what the rate manual more specifically addresses. They're asking for a multi-year rate increase. They're asking for an interim year adjustments in 2017-18 that, as I'll discuss, are very similar but slightly different than what's actually in your rate-setting methodology. And then thirdly, again, this doesn't directly affect their rate increase, but there is a cost of living threshold that triggers an option under your franchise agreement for termination after 9 months of the rate increase. And so that's a third separate issue, and I'll talk about each of those separately. So the first issue in a nutshell has to do with the January 1st, 2016 rate increase. The South County Sanitary Service has provided all of the supporting documentation that's required under the rate setting agreement under your franchise agreement. And that includes audited financial statements for 2013 and 2014. They provide a very comprehensive level of service. They do curbside trash, recycling, greenways, very soon to do organic waste diversion at very competitive rates compared with other communities. In fact, as we'll talk about, for your 32-gallon and your 64-gallon service, no one that we surveyed in this area is lower than you. They've done an excellent job of managing costs and revenues. I'll have some information on that as well. But when you consider the rate increases they've been granted and the challenges that there have been in costs, that's pretty admirable. And so my rate recommendation is that you approve their request for a 3.25% rate increase, and pointing out that that is slightly less than the allowed increase that they under the methodology of 3.67%. It's not a lot lower, but it's lower than what the rate methodology would provide. The second request deals with multi-year rate increases, and this is what they basically asked for. For the second and third years, 2017 and 18, whatever the increase is in consumer price index, that they're allowed to increase the rates for that. And then because we know what the landfill increases are going to be, really for the next 6 years, 2 years ago, the county adopted an 8-year rate-setting strategy at the landfill that basically is a $2.25 a ton increase every year for 8 years. We're 2 years into that cycle, so for the next 6 years, we know what those rate increases are going to be. So they've asked for that rate increase to be passed through. As I mentioned, this is very similar but a little different than the rate setting criteria that's in your franchise agreement. Again, I kind of basically mentioned that those are the three adjustment factors in the intermediary CPI increase for controllable costs, any changes in pass-through costs, which is primarily those landfill disposal fees, and then an adjustment to cover increased franchise fees. But these factors aren't weighted 100% as you look at that. They're really those first two factors are weighted on a pro rata basis of how they represent their total costs. So, for example, based on their current year base year analysis, 84% of their costs are related to those controllable cost items, and 16% are related to landfill disposal tipping fees. So here's how that formula would work, and let's just assume as an example that the CPI increased by 2%. We don't know what it's going to increase by, but let's say it goes up by 2%. Then the way that would work is we take that consumer price index increase of 2%, and we take 84% of it because that's how much of their costs it represents. So it means they would get a 1.68% adjustment for those controllable CPI costs. And when you look at their tipping fee increase, which is a little less than 5%, but it only represents 16% of their cost, then we would weight that, and they would get a 0.79% increase for that. You'd add those together, it would be 2.47%. You make that adjustment for the franchise fees, because now they owe 10% more on 2.47% more revenues, and it comes down to a 2.75% rate increase, is what they would be allowed under the rate-setting methodology under the formulas that are in place. So that would be 2.75%. Their proposed approach under the same thing would be 2.79%. This is 2.8% if you round. That's a 0.04% difference. I ran the numbers. This is a 1 cent difference on 32 or 64 gallon container services. So although it is a slightly different math, it gets you virtually the exact same result. And so given that, I recommend that you go ahead and approve the recommended approach, which was noticed in your 218 notice. Very minor difference in results. Almost hesitate to call it very minor. I mean, it's virtually no difference in results. And it's a more straightforward, streamlined process that's very consistent with the intermediary rate-setting methodology. And if you adopt the multi-year approach, then you won't have to come back in years 2 and 3 and do an intermediary rate increase. Now, you may wonder if it's so similar to the methodology, why have we done this before? Because we haven't known for a 3-year period of time what increases at the landfill are going to be. The model assumed that it goes up every year, so you have to do some kind of analysis every year to adjust for that. In this particular case, this is the first time we've come back to a base year review where we know exactly what the increases at the landfill are going to be, and that's really what makes this possible. This may or may not work as a methodology after this 3-year cycle. Kind of have to evaluate that. But for this 3-year cycle, because we know what these landfill increases are going to be, because both methodologies are tied to increases in the CPI, which we don't know yet, but would be the methodology under both cases, it seems to me it makes sense to go ahead and adopt that. It's just a more straightforward, streamlined approach. The third item is the trigger option. And this is what's in your franchise agreement. If the rate increase request that they're asking for is greater than the cumulative, will result in an increase that is greater than the total change in the CPI since your franchise agreement was adopted, you have the option within 9 months after that of terminating the franchise agreement. Now, this doesn't directly limit the rate increase they can ask for. It doesn't directly affect the rate increase that you can grant. It just means that there's this option out there of this trigger that you could pull. Now, you could look at it I'm sure the trash company does from time to time, this is a little passive-aggressive. You know, on one hand, it says, yeah, this is a reasonable rate increase, let's grant it. But if it's more than this trigger, we could terminate the agreement. This is doesn't directly limit their request, but it's a pretty powerful incentive for them to try and come in, you know, underneath that, even though they might have a rate request methodology that would allow them to have a greater increase. I wasn't involved in negotiating that franchise agreement. I wasn't involved in how that came about. But in my discussions with folks who were there at the time and were there, this was the intent, as I understand it, of that trigger option. What if we follow the rate setting methodology and for whatever reason it results in a rate increase that would appear to be unreasonable or looks unreasonable to you? This was, if they pursued the option and you went, okay, that's what's in the rate setting agreement, but we don't think it's a reasonable outcome, this was a pretty powerful hammer to have. And so my belief is, because this is going to deal with the third recommendation, if you believe the requested rate increase is reasonable, you still have that trigger option. I'm just suggesting you make it at the same time that you approve the rate increase rather than waiting for 9 months to do that. And we'll talk about what that means a little bit more. But again, it doesn't directly limit what they can ask for. It doesn't directly limit what you can approve. But it's a pretty big hammer to be out there because they obviously don't want the franchise agreement to be calculated. Now, as the trash company initially did their calculation, this is where they came up with a 3.25%. They believe that the 3.25% rate increase they're asking for would keep them under that trigger. My calculation, which, of course, I believe is right, but my calculation reduces that trigger to 1.25%. So the question you might ask is, why is there a difference between how they calculated it versus how I calculated it? And this is just really a quick recap of that. Long story short, we both agree on what the cumulative CPI increase has been as the benchmark that establishes that trigger, and it's 10.2%. And we both agree on rate increases that have been granted over that period of time that are subject to that trigger, and that's 13.65%. Where we differ is in how we adjust that number. Now, we both agree that back in 2011, there should be a 1.7% adjustment. And here's what that stems from. This is when they were no longer able to take green waste to the Cole County landfill. And they had to take it to Santa Maria. And so we knew there would be an increase in the fee because of that. And when you approved their taking it to Santa Maria, you agreed before any kind of rate analysis was done that whatever that increase was, it wouldn't be subject to the trigger option. Okay? Kind of agree to hand on beforehand, and that's why we both agree that this 1.7% is an appropriate adjustment. But there was a landfill increase pass-through in 2014, a landfill increase that's obviously applicable in 2016. Their initial calculations were that these should also be outside of the trigger. But my reading of your franchise agreement is that they are not adjustments that should be made in calculating what the trigger amount is. Doesn't mean they couldn't have been, doesn't mean you couldn't have amended your agreement, couldn't have done something like this, but until the rate review, there wasn't anything in place that said that these wouldn't be subject to the trigger. So that's basically the difference. They're making a 2.66% adjustment. I'm only making 1.7% adjustment. They think only 10.18 is subject to the threshold. I think it's 11.95. So here's the simple difference. Their calculation is 10.2. They think only 10.8 is subject to this, so if they ask for 3.25%, they're actually slightly below the trigger. But I also agree on the CPIU calculation, but I think 11.95% is subject, so I think there's a 1.75 variance. Long story short, under my alternative calculation, which is could call that the Statler calculation rather than the alternative calculation, it would need to be 1.5% or less. Given that, these are the three sort of policy options I think you have in how to handle that CPI trigger. The first one would be to agree with the trash company that those exclusions shouldn't be subject to the trigger, and that would be conceptually similar to when you did the 1.7% exclusion before. The second option would be to use the Statler calculation, which I think is consistent with your current franchise agreement, but make findings that you won't pursue the trigger option for this three-year rate review cycle. This would make sense if you concurred that the rate increase was reasonable. You're not giving up your option. You're not giving up how it should be calculated. You're just saying, we're not going to pursue the option. And the third option, of course, would be to use the alternative methodology, the Statler methodology, approve the requested rate increase, but retain your right to exercise your option for the next 9 months. And my recommendation is option two, maybe the Goldilocks solution, if you will. It's to use the alternative calculation so that you're setting a precedent for the future. This is how we're going to calculate it, and there are no exclusions unless somehow or another we approve them in advance for whatever reason. There are no exclusions. But make a finding now when you approve the rate increases that you won't pursue the trigger option. It allows approval of the current requested rate increases if you think they're reasonable, and that's really, the framework for making that decision. But it retains your flexibility in all future rate analysis that you're not agreeing that we're going to waive or not count these kinds of rate increases. It's what the franchise agreement says. We're going to retain that. So that for the future, if you think you end up with an unreasonable rate increase request, you haven't agreed to a lower calculation of that threshold, and you have that precedent in place. So with that, let me talk about the fundamental purpose of what I thought the rate reviewers was going to do, and that's to talk about their rate review application in the context of your adopted rate-setting methodology. There's really kind of two components to the work scope. The first one is, should they be granted a rate increase in January? And if so, how much? And there's really three questions to ask under that. How much does it cost them to provide the services required under your franchise agreement? Are those costs reasonable? And if those costs are reasonable, what's a reasonable rate of return on those costs? And that's really what the rate methodology is designed to take a look at. So let's deal with that first question, are the costs reasonable? I looked at this in three different ways. The first one was, did a detailed review of their costs and changes by key and key components to just take a look if those seemed reasonable given the circumstances, given changes that have happened. And to put that in perspective, they're in essence asking over the last 2 years, cost increase of 1.3% over a two-year period of time based on their controllable costs, or less than 1% a year, about 0.65% a year. And when I compare that to what actually happened to the CPI over that same period of time, it increased by 2.2% or 1.3% increase in costs. So their controllable cost components increased by about half of what the rate was in the consumer price index. So those are kind of the two components that I took a look. And then the third one is to take a look at how your rates compare with other rate agencies. And here's just a quick review. For a 32-gallon container, you're $13.64. There is no one in the Santa Barbara County and Santa Maria, North Santa Barbara counties. No one is this low. In fact, if you look at it, San Miguel's almost double that price. Templeton's almost double. Paso Robles is more than double. Your rates are significantly lower than any other agency, really, in the market area. And when you go to the 64-gallon container, the same is still true. You're at $19.62. No one is less than you. In fact, everyone is significantly greater. San Miguel is $44 for the same level of service that you're paying under $20 for. The only case where you're not the absolute lowest actually is in the 96-gallon container, which is actually a fairly small number of your customers that actually have the equivalent of three cans out there. But in that case, there's only one agency that's lower than you, and that's Santa Maria. Keeping in mind, they don't offer 32-gallon service at all, and they're significantly greater than you on the 64-gallon container. Long story short, you're getting a very high level of service compared to what other people in the county are paying at a very low price. As we look at that 3.25% cost increase that's being requested, you could really break that down into the three components. About 0.8% of that, that's due to that $2.25 increase in the landfill disposal costs. About 1.1% is related to beginning to implement the organics diversion. Of that rate increase, only about 1.3% is actually related to their costs of doing business. That's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty modest increase for their own costs. The other items are really external to them in many ways in terms of what it is that they're going to have to pay. So if the costs are reasonable, and I believe they are, what's a reasonable rate of return on those costs? Your franchise agreement organizes their costs into three categories. The first one's called allowable costs. It's really the operations and maintenance they control, and they're allowed to earn a profit on those costs. And then there are those ones that are called pass-through costs, like the landfill fees, like your franchise fees, and if there are any related party transactions, meaning with their parent company, Waste Connections, they're allowed to recover those costs, but they're not allowed to earn a profit on those costs. And the third category is costs they're not allowed to recover in any way, shape, or form, and those are excluded costs, like any political contributions, entertainment, income taxes, fines and penalties, limits on officer compensation, and those costs they're not allowed to earn to recover at all. So for those costs that are the operating costs, the allowable costs they're allowed to earn a profit on, they're allowed to have a 92% operating ratio on those. Recovery but no profit on the pass-through costs and no revenues at all for excluded costs. Important point, there's no provision for retroactivity in this process. If they've lost money in the past or they didn't achieve these ratios, there's no ability for them to get that back. So you don't owe them anything in the past. This is prospective only. And again, you know, there's that three-year implementation cycle. To just kind of give an example of how this model works, given the data that's in front of you, they have about $8.2 million in allowable costs that they're allowed to earn that 92% operating ratio on. That would mean operating, they would be entitled on those under the rate methodology to about $700,000 in profit. And then this are their pass-through costs for tipping fees, landfill disposal fees, franchise fees, and they do have some costs that are with their related, that are with Waste Connections, but it's a fairly small portion of the total, but they're not allowed to earn a profit on that either. So based on that, they should be able to recover about $12.1 million in revenue. Without the revenue increase, they'll only get about 11.8. So $385,000 is what they would be allowed to have in additional revenues. That would be a 3.3% increase. But then we have to make an adjustment for franchise fees. And so that leaves us with 3.67% is the allowable rate increase under the rate setting model. If we take a look at the history over the last dozen years of rate increases, you have 4 years here where there were no rate increases at all. And if we include the current base year request for 3.25%, this means that over the last 12 years, you've seen on average about a 2.4% rate increase. I mean, given all of the, and that's including the landfill disposal cost increases, that's including the organics, that's including the added cost to take the green waste to Santa Maria, on average, 2.4%. That's what I'm saying. I think when you look at the record in terms of cost containment, it's been pretty significant. So here's the conclusion I reached in doing the rate review. Their costs are reasonable. The proposed rate increase meets the reasonable return criteria, and the 3.25% is slightly less than the allowed rate increase of 3.67%. So that leaves you with kind of this situation. You're going to go from about less than 50-cent increase in the 32-gallon containers, and this is what most of your single-family residential customers have subscribed for, pretty modest rate increase. The other two items approve the multi-year rate increase approach and make findings, which is in the resolution, the draft resolution that you have in front of you this evening, make findings that you won't pursue the trigger option. And again, making that finding, if you think the rate increase is reasonable, I think it is reasonable as a kind of a parent or a companion to that, that you won't pursue the trigger option. You're retaining that option, if you think about it. You're just making that decision sooner than 9 months not to pursue it. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. I'm sure that a representative from the trash company would be happy to answer any questions as well.
So do we have any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just marvel at your enthusiasm, Mr. Statler, in talking about this stuff. I appreciate one aspect of it, though, in particular, is you said, I disagree with their point, and I have my own position on this, and the more I think about it, the more I'm convinced I'm right. I know that feeling. So, but I appreciate it. I actually have noted for a number of years the professional way with which the sanitary services rates have been increased gently and very professionally. It's always been a lot of transparencies, and you can see by the lack of turnout tonight without controversy. And so I do thank you for that. It's been a model, I think, in South County.
Does anybody else have any questions?
You don't have to have questions. I'd be happy to sit down.
All right.
I have questions. No. You know what? I want to just take this opportunity to maybe ask you a little bit about Cold Canyon. Has the freeze been lifted? You said that there was a freeze on dumping green waste, and that's one of the reasons why we had an increase. We're on the same page.
Yeah,
right?
Again, the adjustments, I think the language in your franchise agreement is pretty clear. It says these types of disposal costs were included in figuring that. It's just on the 1.7 for the green waste, you made the determination maybe even 2 years, I think, in advance of that cost increase happening. You made the decision that agreed with the trash company that you wouldn't include the 1.7%.
Okay, so let me go back and try to ask my question. Is there still a freeze on that landfill? Do you still have to go to Santa Maria to do the dumping?
We can't do anything with green waste ever since long before I got here. The composting was shut down, so we still have to bring everything to Santa Maria, and that will continue. That's why the rates are so low. The other thing that's going to hurt us, green waste from North County, we were able to use it as daily cover, covering up the garbage at the landfill, and we're not going to be allowed to do that anymore starting in 2020. So to answer your question, we're just out of the business there. We were shut down by the county. It wasn't anything we did. It's just neighbors and things over there were complaining about the smell. So that's why everything's going to be going down to Santa Maria.
So it will continue to go into another county, into another landfill area.
Well, it's not. It's they're composting it down there. It's not a landfill, so they're making a product of it. But with this new project that I talked about when I was here last time,
right?
It will be coming to my site, and that's when we're going to start turning it into natural gas and electricity when we build that facility, which is projected to be in the middle of 2017.
Okay, and that's gonna. Okay, so then, secondly, is maybe you could kind of. A lot of people have talked to me about the compost cans on the counters, right? You know, the little ones that you're
right.
going to distribute in January that will sit on our counter that will be all our table scraps and whatever.
Right, that was at the President,
food products.
Well, President Lucy, just so you know, that was the county's initiative to have this little pail. I certainly didn't dream that up. You know, there's people can put it out.
I don't care whose idea it was.
Right, but either way,
right.
That's
so
the plan.
Maybe you could talk me into it a little bit more. Because nobody wants a stinky can on their counters.
The Solid Waste Authority, Bill Worrell, had come up when he was here the last time.
Uh-huh.
It was his idea based on other models in the state of California that people have these little school bag type things, and they put them under the sink. I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think it should be an optional thing before we order 52,000 of them, because that's what I'm looking to do. And I totally understand what you're saying, but that was the county's idea to provide this, and they came to us and said, this is what we would like to do. So as far as right. I'm concerned, it should be a homeowner's decision whether they want to do this or not.
And a lot of people have said, you know, and it makes sense if it's uncooked foods, you know, vegetables, peelings and things mm-hmm. like that, you know, eggshells, coffee grounds, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But it's the cooked food part that's throwing people off that are they're just adamantly like, I'm not going to invite all the bugs to my house. I don't care, you know. I'm not doing this, you know, and I'll use that container for a planter. It's like, don't tell me what you're going to do with the container, you know.
Well, there's a meeting.
I wanted to know if you'd gotten that other types of feedback, because people have been pretty, you know.
Well, to be honest with you, I was in the Pomo this morning, and the same thing came up from one of their directors. Same exact thing. You know, I've got this clean green waste can, and I'm going to throw fish guts and that type of stuff, and it's going to make a mess in there. And Bill Worrell was there, and he was talking about maybe getting a compostable bag or something. I totally understand that he's going to have his quarterly meeting. It's either November 4th or 5th. I'll bring it up. My guys don't want anything to do with this thing either. So, you know, that's something I think that we need to look at as a community. But we certainly didn't come up with it. But he did that based on the model in the Bay Area.
Great. And I know legislatively you have to do something. You
right,
know, you
but
just
we
can't
didn't
sit there, you know, so I do understand that.
Right, and I think it would be a homeowner's decision. That's why we shouldn't just deliver them to everybody's doorstep. I think we'd have to come up with a plan. Either you want one or you don't want one.
Okay.
And Madam President, if I might add, and I think you just spoke to the legislation, so the requirement to do food composting is coming down from the state through some of the mandates. It's not a requirement on individual homes. It's on really the bigger food producers. And so the need to be able to move forward with the food composting and what South County Sanitary Services is lining up, is required. It's a mandate. Out of the rate increase of 3.25%, I think it was 1.1% that related to the ability to do food composting. So again, it's a really reasonable amount there, but the mandate is not on the individual homeowners. It's on the larger food producers.
Okay.
But since it has to be done, some homeowners are going to want to do that. My brother has one of those little green things underneath his kitchen sink, and he loves it.
Good.
You know, others aren't going to want to do it. You know, I think some people are probably going to take it out to their bin on a daily basis and not do that. So really the flexibility exists for the individual property owners, and I agree with Mr. Fenton that
I think that's
it's going to be
right
based
there
on what the individual property owners want to
so
do.
So that's a message that I can tell people, is that, you know, it really is individually what you want to do. Nobody's going to come in here and inspect you for cans.
I've been in front of 12 community cities and districts so far, and I've everything from what about my incinerator, or I compost outside. My response is, it's your house. You do whatever you want to do.
Right.
We're just following, you know, the statute and doing what we have to do to provide that service, no more, no less.
And I do think that your attempt to compost as cooked food is very cost-effective in what you plan on building and everything. I did read that, and I applaud you on that one.
Thank you.
So that was it.
On that point, and during the presentation, it was mentioned, but maybe you can remind us, the it's methane gas that's going to be produced out of the composting facilities. I thought it was methane, but was it 12 or 14 garbage trucks that would be able to fuel?
Well, right now I have 86 frontline trucks, are the ones, the big ones that are out there every day. 24 of them, actually I'm hitting my 25th, run on natural gas.
Natural gas.
And if this thing comes through, because everybody's got to buy in on it, everyone has skin in the game to make this thing work, then as we replace our trucks, which I'm doing anyway, when I replace a diesel, I replace it with the natural gas truck. And if Compo Gas is successful and they make natural gas out of it, they will build a fueling station there, and we'll make some type of a long-term agreement on a price, and we will try to run my entire fleet on natural gas. And you know, others in the city of San Luis Obispo, for example, there are city buses or school buses, and city buses run on natural gas. So the Compo Gas people will be, I'm sure, making all different kinds of agreements with them, along with selling electricity, I think, to the airport expansion. So it's better than putting it in the landfill, and the methane is the real issue, and we can actually make something productive out of it instead of sticking in a hole in the ground.
All right. Thank
and
you very much.
Reduce the need for oil trains.
So long as it doesn't smell like French fries.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So do I get to officially close?
Well, you have to ask for public comment first.
Is there any more public comment on the hearing?
Did we receive any written comment?
We received no written comment.
Well, but go ahead and close the protest hearing, since there is no public comment. We're going to do it, and then I'll...
He's so controlling.
Just want to make sure we do it right. Now, I will report, we did receive a couple of written protests. They were less than 10. As a result, there would have to be something like 1,250, I think, or so, written protests in order for your board to prevent it from adopting the resolution. So the first requirement
I thought it was 1,091. I thought that was our number.
Oh.
Could be. We didn't get up to 10, though, so I didn't double-check that bigger number.
Percentage is low.
So there is not a so the first action item would be for your board to make a determination that there is not a majority protest to the proposed rate increase.
Okay, so can we comfortably say that it doesn't appear to be any protest?
There is
not a sufficient protest.
I would make a motion that we find that there is not a majority protest on this item.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? 5-0 passes. Okay.
And
next.
The second recommendation, which is specifically with regard to the resolution, it is those are my Mr. Statler, as part of his report, obviously provided his recommendations. The development of the resolution is, and myself working with your legal counsel, is our recommendations. And it happens to be that my recommendations are consistent with Mr. Statler's recommendations. A couple of the points is that this is an approval of a multi-year rate increase as allowable underneath Prop 218 and consistent with the spring rate increase that your board did on the water rates, where you also have pass-throughs associated with CPI and you also have pass-throughs associated with costs that we are mandated. In our situation, it's costs associated with Lopez Water and State Water that are passed through. For the garbage company, it's costs associated with the landfill. So the approach is consistent with the approach that we took in the spring on the water rate increase. And I think it's important because on these interim actions, like for year two and year three, there is a lot of administrative costs of going through this process, and so it's certainly more efficient. With respect to the trigger issue, I also concur with Mr. Statler, and so the resolution includes a provision to waive the right to terminate. I agree with him on the point that what is being proposed is reasonable, and I also agree with him on the point of why is the trigger in there, because the methodology provides a calculation on what's allowable under the franchise agreement, but in the event that that methodology would result in unreasonable increases above CPI, your board has that ability to then say that even though it's allowable underneath the methodology, it's still too big and it's not reasonable. And so it's an additional protection measure that is built into the franchise agreements for the communities. But when we look at the details of this particular proposal, there's reasonable, and so we have included in the resolution waiving the right to terminate. I think it's also important because there is a disagreement, slight disagreement between the reading and what South County Sanitary Services. If the rate increase was so egregious as to give your board great discomfort, then the next step would really be for a legal evaluation of those trigger options, because we have two different opinions on it. And that would really come down to a legal evaluation. But I don't think that that's warranted because what's being proposed is reasonable. And so the resolution has been structured consistent with the proposal and consistent with Mr. Statler's recommendations. And I urge your board's approval as well. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. There's no questions. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District adopting the integrated solid waste rates for January 1, 2016, 2017, and 2018, and waiving our franchise Section 8.3 rights to terminate the franchise.
I'll second.
Okay. No discussion. All those in favor?
We should do a roll call.
Roll call on
the
resolution.
Let's do a roll call. Okay. So you can ask for a roll call.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Thank you. It's 5-0. It passes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Fred.
See you in a couple years.
It isn't that I wouldn't love to stay for the rest of the evening.
Mr. Statler, thank you so much.
These guys love it when they walk in a room and it's an echoing sound. All right, moving right along. We're going to go back to consent agenda items. We're going to try to move this agenda as quickly as possible.
Why don't you do 7A and 7B? Because I think we broke up.
I just said that.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'll stop talking.
Okay, consent agenda items. I'll entertain a motion.
I think you should take public comment for the people at home. I know there's no public, but...
Is there anybody who would like to call in? Resident Ogren? Okay, no public comment. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda or modify it.
I'm sorry, President Lucy, just to be clear, is that we have consent agenda items.
A and B.
D, I had to recuse myself.
Correct. Right, and you and and you had right.
Jennifer recused herself on C.
So we can make a note of that, but you can still adopt the consent agenda with those.
Okay.
With those notes.
On A, B, and D.
A, B, and D.
All right. Okay. So we'll take a note as to who is abstaining, based on their proximity of their residence
Director
to these.
Director Grow is abstaining from
on D for living within 500
Director
feet.
Director Blackburn is abstaining from C.
But it was removed from the consent agenda already, right?
And it's removed from the consent agenda.
Okay. So I will move that we approve consent agenda items 7A, 7B, and 7D with Director Guerrero being recused on 7D.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Does that need a roll call?
No.
Okay.
Matt. He's supposed to be recusing yourself.
He is on that.
Okay. So all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstaining. Director Gross, abstentions. Okay. On to item 8.
Because Madam President?
We brought 7C
yes.
down
Members
to
of the board.
9B.
Yes. So item 8A... has been prepared for your consideration in order to supersede Resolution 2014-13. 2014-13 provides for reimbursement of off-site costs but it was specific to properties that are requesting will serve letters from the district. And that is by far the vast majority. But in the recent weeks, we've had two exceptions, and so I don't have the authority under Resolution 2014-13 to consider these two exceptions, and I put those as examples in the staff report. One is where a property owner already has two units on their property. They're not asking for a will serve letter. They're already a customer. They already get service, but they simply want to have a second meter. And so this resolution will then allow us to accommodate that request so that they can have a second meter for their second unit. They pay for all the costs on a time and material basis. But again, because that parcel already has two units, there's no new will serve process to go through. The second example that's provided relates to a development that's occurring in the city of Arroyo Grande. We have our water line within the city's streets. Their development project has a drainage pipe that requires a slight modification to our water pipeline. Again, they're not obtaining water service from us, so Resolution 2014-13 is not adequate for me in order to essentially work with the people. We're certainly obligated to allow them to modify. We have to relocate the costs. We have to relocate the pipeline. We're in the city of Arroyo Grande's right-of-way. We're compelled to do that, and this modification to the resolution will then allow us to proceed with that work effort. The reality is we've drafted, if your board adopts this, we have drafted all the terms and conditions in order to work with that development, and all of those costs will then be reimbursable, and there's going to be all the appropriate indemnification agreements and everything else. But we don't, again, we are compelled to be able to move forward with that item, and if not moving forward, then the risks to the district is that we could potentially create economic damages to the development, and we wouldn't want that to happen. So the resolution, again, is consistent with 2014-13, but just opens it up slightly to be able to handle these two other types of requests that are not associated with requests for new water service. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So are you just, you're just modifying the policies and procedures to be able to handle this other business?
It's the, almost the identical, yeah, almost the identical resolution, just simply allowing it to be utilized in two situations that are pretty rare exceptions to what we normally see.
Right.
But it will help administratively, and it essentially allows us to take care of some of the basic business that we have to take care of.
No, I can't think of any reason not in support of it. But did you want us to vote on this tonight, or do we need a resolution?
No, it is in, the recommendation has, it is in resolution format.
So I'll entertain a motion.
So although Tony is the only individual here, I think we still need to give him the opportunity for public comment.
Public comment, if anybody would like to provide public comment.
Well, guess not.
We do karaoke, too, on... Okay, so public comment's closed. I'll entertain a motion.
Okay.
I thought Jennifer was going to make it.
Oh, sure. I'll move staff recommendation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
Is that okay?
We need a roll call, or?
Yes.
This is a roll call, though.
Okay. And it's resolution 2014-13?
No, that was
that's the superseded. This, if adopted, will become resolution 2015-08.
Okay, 2015-08. Very good. Okay.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelum?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. It passes 5-0. Thank you. Hearing items 9A.
We already did that.
We already did that. I was going, that sounds very familiar.
7B.
Okay, 9B, which was 7C. I know you guys are trying to confuse me tonight. It's not going to work.
And we're going to give Director Blackburn an opportunity to step out.
Okay. So I see that you wrote a brief staff report on this, and thank you for that.
Yeah, so on item 7C, which is an intent to serve letter for Alina Gallegos, 2168 Paso Robles Street, this item was on your board agenda previously, and the board direction at that point in time was to get a status update from the county. Included in the agenda package is that status update. Clearly, Ms. Gallegos has still quite a significant amount of work to do with the county planning department in order to meet all the conditions in order to get the final approval of this particular work effort. You know, our jurisdiction on the matter is really simply the water, wastewater service, and So the intent to serve letter has been crafted appropriately in terms of conditions, whether or not she's going to have to put in a new sewer lateral or whether she can tie into the existing one, if she is going to be dependent on some of the future steps that she has to take. But again, out of the many steps that are necessary for her to get her permit, OCSD is one of them, and consistent with many other projects, we, from a water and a wastewater perspective, there's not a constraint in our ability to provide service to her property. Whether or not she is able to jump through all the hurdles that she needs to jump through with county planning is an independent question, but regardless, that status report from county planning is also included in your agenda package. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Do we know if, are they living in the unit? I get a little nervous because, you know, there's no fire, you know, there's, you know, we just really don't encourage people to live in units in the backs of properties.
Yeah. One of the things that's important when we issue an intent to serve letter, we're not opining on the project as a whole or her occupancy at all, because the fact we know that the manufactured home was moved onto the parcel prior to her obtaining a land use permit from the county.
Yes.
But the substance of that issue really is a county land use issue, and if there is anything that was inappropriate, it's a jurisdiction of the county and under code enforcement. We do know, though, that she has applied for the permit. She is working with the county on the permit efforts. We're not aware of any connection of our utilities to the manufactured home right now. If we were aware of the connections of any of the utilities to the manufactured home, then we would have a code enforcement issue ourselves. And so the intent to serve letter is neither a blessing of the project as a whole, nor does it speak to whether or not, you know, we would have any issues that we would have to address prior to her getting a final permit in the event that she hooked up the utilities to the manufactured home.
So I think at this point, if it's okay with the rest of the board, that we just keep bringing this back to our board, you know, do what you need to do administratively, every 90 days.
No, I think we have to act. We have to act tonight. Because
what are we acting?
We're starting the process of providing her a will serve letter, right?
Yeah, to serve.
Well, that's separate. That's different.
No.
This action item is on the action of an intent to serve. But it's not a final will serve letter, because we don't give a final will serve letter until she's all of those conditions.
Right. That was why I pulled that out. I wanted to clarify that the initial will serve letter, which she needs before she can move forward, does not actually connect her water meter to her building at this time.
That is correct.
That is correct.
That's right. She does not get to connect until she receives a final will serve letter, and she can't get a final will serve letter until she gets all of her permits with the county. So the condition is that she has to get an intent to serve letter before she can get a final will serve letter. The intent to serve letter is really based on the idea that we have the resources available to serve. Yeah. We have the water resources. We have, the wastewater service that's available. We don't have a resource constraint, and so we don't really have the ability to deny the intent to serve letter. Yeah. But we don't issue a final will serve letter until she's met all of her other conditions. And as the status report indicates, she has a lot of work that she still needs to do with the county. But again, we don't have a compelling reason to deny her the intent to serve letter. If she doesn't comply with the conditions, then we don't issue her a final will serve letter.
So until everything else is done, she won't get connected.
That's correct.
Okay. Right. But the policy that we just passed allows admin to go through and do...
No.
Yes, it does. It does. It allows them to continue doing their will serves on all the properties.
We have to approve the will serve letter.
Okay.
Tonight. I mean, or...
I agree.
Intent to serve.
Yeah.
It has to be done tonight. Yeah. I mean, if we don't, we're holding her up, so it has to be.
Right.
And I move...
Well, just... I'm fine with issuing the intent. What I would like to see happen is, since this project started out rocky, I would like it to continue to come back to the board as it moves through the county process.
Okay. What I would modify my recommendations then is to, as recommended, on continue with the recommendation on the intent, and then to add a second action item, which is simply to come back to your board for approval of the final will serve letter. And that way we don't do that at an administrative level.
That's great. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I just don't want to lose sight of it. So do you want to make a motion?
Yes.
Again, although we don't see anybody in the public.
That's right. Oh. Public comment.
Yes.
Public comment.
Seeing none?
It's closed.
Jump out there, Matt.
I make a motion to approve an intent to serve letter for a project assessor's parcel number 062092020, and also that the intent to serve be amended to require a final will serve approval to come before the board of the Oceana Community Service District. Did I do it?
Yeah.
That provides, with a second and approval, that provides me sufficient direction.
I'll second.
Okay. Do we need, we can do a roll call, right? I mean, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining?
Abstaining is the director.
So it's a 4-1, so yeah.
4-0-1.
Oh, excuse me. 4-0 with one abstention.
So,
you're out.
Closed session.
Madam President, prior to closed session, do you want to...
Wait till Director Blackburn comes in.
Okay. Do you want to consider item 11, future agenda items, prior to closed session?
Yeah.
Please.
So, in terms of future agenda items, it's my intent for our next November meeting to come back with job descriptions on what we discussed at the last meeting about a potential relating to the office manager, district accountant, and a possible new position. So I'll plan on that at the... my target is going to be the next meeting in November. That meeting, our normally scheduled meetings in November, though, would be November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and then November 25th, which is the day before Thanksgiving. Last year, your board actually took formal action in order to not hold the Thanksgiving hearing as well as one around Christmas. We don't need to really consider that today. But my thought would be to hold a special meeting on November 10th, that Tuesday, rather than November 11th on Veterans Day. I'll still be more than glad to come on November 11th, Veterans Day, if you want to maintain...
Is that a staff holiday?
It's a staff holiday, but it's in the middle of the week, and I don't have any problem coming out here on in the evening for the meeting. So it's sort of really to your discretion. We can schedule a special meeting for November 10th, or we can hold it the regular meeting on November 11th.
Is there any conflict on the 10th with other meetings?
Not that I'm aware of.
City Council would be the only one.
Yeah.
Roy Grandy would be the only, but yeah. I don't think that's going to conflict.
I do think we do need a meeting in November, though. So,
oh yeah.
If can it if be in anybody's all right, can we just go with the 10th? And
yeah, can it be in the
discussion?
Evening? I'm in trial. It's supposed to end December.
Yeah, I would still propose to do it at either 6 or 6:30.
6:30, November 10th.
And then, and we will still get the agenda out on the Friday, so there's more than, you know, special meetings only have to have 24-hour notice, but we'll still get it out on Friday so that there's more than a 72-hour notice on the meeting.
Okay.
Is there any possibility we're going to have a second meeting in November?
I am definitely steering away from that, and I do not see the need for a second meeting in November at this point in time.
Okay. So
never know if something pops up.
Do we need to take action on changing the date of the... Okay, I'll entertain a motion to reschedule the board
I'll move that we reschedule our next meeting until November 10th at 6:30 p.m. here at the Oceano Community Services District Boardroom.
Okay. Okay. Any public comment on this? Hearing none.
Hearing none.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? 5-0. It passes. Other future agenda items?
Yeah. So the question that came up during committee reports is whether or not your board wants to schedule an agenda item regarding South County billing services. Because you have previously given me direction. Your board's not compelled to have another item to discuss it further. But we know that the sanitation district did take action, which was inconsistent with some of your board's prior action. They still have the option of a check, you know, for $3,666 prior to November 15th, and we'll do the November billing services. But what I would really do is to look to a majority of your board as to whether or not you want me to schedule that as a future agenda item.
Did they pay for the August?
Yeah. So.
Oh, they paid for October. They didn't pay for August.
September.
I'm sorry.
September.
Right.
Yeah. The billing that we did in September is the most recent billing that we did, and they did pay for that.
They have to pay in advance, right?
Yes.
But
there was one billing period that we did not provide billing services. We did not, you know, we had offered it to them, but they didn't take us up on the offer. And then they did provide a check for $3,666 for the billing that went out in September, and they still have the option to do that for the November billing. And again, you know, I guess the basic question, though, is does your board want to put it back on the agenda or not?
My thinking is that unless there's a counterproposal from the sanitation district, that there's nothing to put on the agenda.
I agree. I think this board has
exhausted itself.
We've done everything feasible, so I would wait and see if they're going to retain our services for the next billing cycle. And
let's be a little bit careful, because Napomo CSD is recently challenged on issues associated with future agenda items. And so what we should refrain from doing is getting into any of the policy discussion. Yeah. But your board did provide me with prior direction. So the question simply now is, do you want to revisit your prior direction? And if you're inclined to revisit your prior direction, then I will schedule it as a future agenda item. If you're not inclined to address your prior direction, then I won't schedule it as a future agenda item.
Okay, so I have a question. What if before the next meeting's agenda comes out, we do receive information from them or some counterproposal or letter? Would that warrant putting it on the agenda for the next meeting?
That would depend on...
We'd know that by next Wednesday.
Yeah. And the agenda goes on Friday, so if something comes in, obviously staff and President Lucy know how to handle that and get that on the agenda as needed. So.
It's a little bit vague for me right now.
I don't want to revisit it.
So maybe the way to pose the question, is there any conditions under with which a majority of your board might want to revisit your prior direction?
No. I would say some proposal comes in that we should consider.
I would agree.
So that's two.
I agree with that.
That's three. So Laurie
says no.
Right into their hands.
If they come forward with something else.
They already have.
Courtesy, try to consider it.
They already have come forward. Last meeting they came forward.
Except it hasn't been presented to this board.
They didn't send.
Okay. So the appropriate motion would be, if I'm understanding the general inclination of the board right now, is that if I have a written proposal from the sanitation district, then I will schedule a subsequent agenda item. But I would like to see that in the form of a motion.
Any public comment? I'd really like to hear some public comment right now. Okay, well, hearing none, I'm moving this agenda.
Make a motion.
can make the motion.
I make a motion that if we are presented with a written counterproposal on sanitation billing, sanitation district billing, prior to the deadline for putting out our agenda on Friday, whatever, November...
November 6th.
November 6th, that it be placed on our agenda. If not, it not be placed on our agenda.
And if I might ask for a friendly amendment, by the end of the day on November 5th, because
time to compile it and publish
it on November 6th.
If we receive it by November 5th.
Yeah, midnight, November 5th.
Yes.
I'll second.
Vote.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. 4-1. So, just put it on the agenda.
Well, I'll communicate with Mr. Clemens.
Okay, so we have job descriptions. Is there anything else that needs to go on future agenda items?
Not of an urgency issue.
Okay, so Jeff, let's see public comment for closed session. Any closed session items? Do you want to announce what we're doing closed session for?
Yes, closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9A. This is conference with legal counsel regarding Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al.
Okay, great. Thank you. We're adjourned to closed session.